Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you are going?
What?
How fast you are going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You got to understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. George Reister will be joining us, former Oregon Duck tight end, at 8 a.m. for the Daily Ticker. Get his thoughts on Oregon getting the one seed in the playoff bracket, and talk some college football with George Reister. If you miss any of the program in the 6 a.m. hour, you can always catch it at 1080thefan.com, the podcast section of the website. And you can reach us at the Vancouver Ford text line. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get your Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today.
Big news locally yesterday. We had Heisman finalists announced.
We did.
And I don't know how surprising the finalist list was to people, but the people going to the Heisman ceremony, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, and your Oregon Duck quarterback, Dylan Gabriel.
Hello, Dylan Gabriel.
Now, I will let you sound off because I'm actually curious, not so much like, oh, hey, what did you think of it? Like, yeah. Obviously, duh, it's good for Dylan.
Yeah.
I'm more curious your thoughts on what this means for Dan Lanning's program. To have back-to-back Heisman finalists now. But also, I want to say, for the record, Cam Scatabo not being in the finalist in the ceremony,
yeah,
I don't care if he would have won. It's travesty. You cannot tell the story of college football in 2024 without Cam Scatabo. So that was a disgrace, a travesty. I don't care if they've ever had five guys there or not.
Doesn't matter.
Has to be
they
there.
They definitely have, I feel like, before I had five guys.
Yeah, there's not like. There's not a limit. They look and see where there is a significant break in
and
the voting and then say, okay, there's clearly
well, these, whatever years they've had
people.
Five.
I think the problem was Arizona there. State was too far off the radar until late in the season. And then I
mean, Heisman voters are stupid, largely.
Yes.
That's the first problem. College football voters are stupid.
You have to be on the radar.
They lost two games.
Fairly early in the season.
They have carried Arizona State to a college football playoff.
Oh, like, but hold on. To his point, what if he's right, okay? How could a two-loss team be off the radar till late?
Yeah. We talked about this, what week was it? The week Arizona State, who did they beat?
Who covers the sport? This is ridiculous.
Might have been their win. They had a big win late in the season.
BYU.
I remember, I think it was before the BYU game, but they beat somebody and they were doing Kansas State. I think that was it. And they were doing a pick segment on College Game Day. And this, like, Desmond Howard on College Game Day, they brought the game up. And Desmond Howard said on College Game Day.
Were they both like 7-2 or something like that?
It was an elimination game for the Big 12 championship, and Desmond Howard said live on ESPN, why are we picking this game?
Man, that's crazy.
That's one of the voices of your sport.
Yeah,
it's one of the
biggest shows of your sport.
For a lot of people, this sport has turned into the Big Ten and SEC and a smattering of other programs that have some brand recognition.
Yeah, look, first off, the reason he's not there is because voters are stupid. And there's far too many people who have a say in college football awards that don't deserve a say.
Yeah.
You can tell me that Cam Scatabu's not going to win the Heisman. Yeah, I know he's not going to win the Heisman. Neither is Dylan Gabriel. Doesn't change the fact that it's not really cool to go to New York and to have a moment for your program, for the player, to be showcased in front of the country. It's still one of the most prestigious awards in all of sports.
It's also very personal. You bring your family.
Yes,
you get
to tell the backstory.
Yeah.
Your high school coach is there. Like, there's just a lot of cool things that come with it. And it's a great opportunity to showcase Arizona State in the season he's had. And I Couldn't agree more with you. He should be there. It's laughable that he's not. But go look at some of the finalists for the other season-ending awards, and you'd just say, ah, people don't watch the sport, do they?
I don't think they do.
I think there's people that have AP top 25 votes that don't watch college football.
That's crazy.
Groundbreaking news, I know, but there's actually people out there that care and follow the sport that should have a say in some of this stuff that don't watch it and don't follow it and don't cover it, and it just it's mind-numbingly dumb, but that's the way college football works. So yes, he should be there. They've had more than four times. And it's just to showcase the story. Cam Ward deserves to be there as well. He was unbelievable
this
season in Miami.
Yes.
He's not going to win the award, but tell his story.
Right.
One of my favorite things on the Scataboo note as well was that if he had gone, which he should, because he probably is going to fifth in the voting, I would imagine.
Yep.
You would have some sort of either future, current, or past Pac-12 tie to all of the finalists. Because Genty and Boise State, soon to be in the Pac-12.
Cam Ward
yep. came from Pac-12.
Wazoo.
Oregon came from yep. Pac-12. Arizona State came from Pac-12. Colorado, everybody would have had some tie to,
right.
you know, a conference that wasn't good enough to exist anymore.
Turns out, Andy, we had a great conference.
Turns out we were pretty good at football out here on the West Coast. But, you know, way to go, chancellors and Board of Regents, for turning down media deals when we should have just signed. On the Dylan Gabriel note, this is really special. I wasn't surprised that he was named a finalist primarily because of what happened on Saturday night. They just played in the Big Ten title game. I think anybody that watched that game would say probably the best player on the field was Dylan Gabriel. He was in complete control of that game. He had, what, four touchdowns, I want to say. Dynamic with his legs. He completely handled everything that Penn State threw at him.
Are their votes allowed to go all the way that deep?
It goes until Monday. So it went until yet, which it should. You should count conference championship
games.
That
makes the Scataboo thing even worse because
yes.
he was an absolute monster that Iowa State couldn't
there
stop.
There were a ton of people that I imagine probably put their votes in before the games this weekend, and then yeah. you watch Scataboo and you're like, oh, that guy's pretty good, huh? He kind of carried them to a playoff. Maybe we should have voted for him to get there. But I think that helped Dylan Gabriel's cause. But also, look, the reality is, and I'm not going to apologize for it, the quarterback on the best team in the country is always a Heisman finalist. Like, this is how the sport has always worked. Whether you think Gabriel deserves it over Shador Sanders, that's become an online debate over the last 24 hours. I don't care. It just is the way the sport works. If you're undefeated, you're a legit quarterback, and you're leading your team, and you're the number one team in the country, you're going to be a Heisman finalist. It's an awesome feather in the cap for Dan Lanning that he is. This one wasn't a surprise because Gabriel came in well-respected and highly touted.
I don't think Nix was a surprise last year.
Last year he wasn't,
the
but that was
year,
more about like,
been.
Wow, look yeah. what Bo Nix turned into. Gabriel right. is like, yeah, this guy's a stud, and he was great at Oklahoma, and he's going to be great at Oregon. Not a surprise to anybody that he's actually going to be there. But the fact that he's had two different quarterbacks now that have gone to the Heisman Trophy finalists or ceremony back-to-back years, it's a really cool thing that has never happened in the history of their program.
Well, it's never happened. How many programs does that happen to in back-to-back years you have a Heisman finalist?
Yeah, with different players
right? Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen very often in general. I don't, I actually have zero byline credit in my professional life in a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
I kind of got one yesterday. My name's not on it. Bill Orem wrote a random, you know, like, just kind of observations and thoughts article yesterday, and one of them was something that I had texted him, and he asked if he could put it in the article. I've brought this up to you already,
mm-hmm.
and I hate doing the segment because I don't know if you and other Duck fans view it as like, oh, you're jumping to something that's not on our radar, but I do think it's a kind of a big looming thing,
yeah.
and that's veteran experienced quarterback last year as a Heisman finalist, veteran experienced quarterback this year, Heisman finalist. And this goes into the what will he do at that position next year stuff.
I mean, the portal's open right now. You got to figure it out.
The portal is open. There's some names that have popped up. And I don't know if there's a Dylan Gabriel to Dan Lanning. He has Dante Moore. But is he going to hand the car keys of that program and where it currently is to a redshirt sophomore? I don't know. A lot of people do think he will. He very well could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just begs the question of, it's something interesting to think about because part of the Dan Lanning story is having the 23-year-old, 24-year-old quarterback has been massive to taking this leap into this conversation for them. He's recruiting his ass off. He's got talent all over. He's mixed it with portal and recruited high school blue chip guys.
Yeah.
But getting to this level, it's massive to have those quarterbacks be at the helm of all of this
yep.
and help operate what it is. You've heard him talk about Gabriel all year. He's given Gabriel compliments that I think he loves Bo Nix and what Bo Nix meant to him. He's said things about Dylan Gabriel, and he says, like, I've never had.
He did it on Saturday night.
He did. And so, like, I think it's an important story of what Oregon has
they were already good. They've leapt to great for a lot of people in these last 2 years, especially this year. And so I think it's an interesting little, like, peekaboo ahead of what are you going to do at that spot, given what you had from Dylan this year and what you got from Bo last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to think of the last staff. The two final quarterbacks that were under Mario Cristobal were Tyler Shuck and Anthony Brown. That was the quarterback play that you had. And the first two for Dan Lanning have been Bo Nix, who was a Heisman finalist, and then Dylan Gabriel, who was a Heisman finalist. So he's hitting home runs so far, and nobody gave him credit when he originally signed Bo Nix. We were against that one, and boy, did we end up being wrong on the Bo Nix front. I will maintain, I think it's a completely valid question, and it's the beauty of college football. Like, you always have one eye on what's happening in front of you and one eye on what's happening in the future, because it's a sport where your offseason happens in the season. This is your free agency window right now, but yeah, you're also trying to go win a national championship. So it's a completely valid question. I will maintain, I don't think he's going to go get somebody. Might be completely wrong on that. I don't have the ability to watch Dante Moore in practice every day, but the random scuttlebutts that I hear out of Eugene is that they're incredibly high on the kid. It doesn't seem like as of right now. Now, again, this could end up being wrong as well, so old takes expose me. Will Stein's name is not showing up a lot currently with some head coaching searches, and there's been that wonder of like, hey, if he leaves, how does that look? How does that? I think there's a big benefit for having Dante Moore stick around, be in the system for a year, learn under Will Stein. If Will Stein stays for another season, and just having that knowledge and the dialogue and the terminology and the understanding of the offense going into next season is going to be a really big leg up for him. And so I still maintain that I think it will be Dante Moore next year. But, you know, hold me on that when they end up signing a guy like next Tuesday in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Now that it's officially open. But they have not been linked yet to any of the quarterback names out there. I don't believe I've read or heard that they're taking any visits from the quarterbacks. There are some good ones that are on the market.
I don't know if there's a Gabriel, though.
I don't think that there is this year. There's some really good players, but not a guy that you look at and say, oh, unquestionably, that would be an upgrade over Dante Moore, who was the number one player or one of the top players in high school coming out of his recruiting class. So,
and that Stein offense, too, it's not to discredit anything that Nix or Gabriel did. There is an element of that offense, though, that it's like it can be simplified.
Yes.
Check down to your great running back. We're going to get the lineman in front. It's almost like a pseudo screen. Yeah, you give the guy grief if you're not a Duck fan, but largely, like, it works.
Yeah.
The system is very good, I think, for a lot of players to kind of ease their way in, and as they get more experience, they kind of feel more confident. Like, Gabriel pushed the ball down the field. Bo last year was either checking it down or going deep. That system, I think, lends itself to quarterbacks being able to successfully guide themselves into it, even if it's their first year in it. And Stein coming back, I mean, getting players is always great. The Jimmys and the Joes. That would be maybe the biggest pickup for them, is not having him leave.
I mean, I have not seen his name. There's not a lot of openings out there. He hasn't been referenced with West Virginia. I haven't seen him connected in North Carolina. I mean, there's not that many big-time openings. And so one of the things I think Lanning correctly preaches to his staff is he wants further advancement. He wants development. He wants guys to, because it looks good on him. He wants other guys to come work for him. And yeah, you go be a head coach someday, but don't just jump.
Yeah.
Don't just jump to take some random job, because if it's not in a good situation with NIL, with, you know, TV contracts and all the other things that you need to win in modern college football, you're probably not going to succeed. So Wait, if you're Will Stein and you wait 2 more years, is there an SEC job that opens up that you could go get? Is there a Big 12 job that's like, hey, that's a cream of the crop job, I want to go work there?
Oklahoma State might be looming next year.
Right, and maybe that's a place where there's a lot of money and they want to, you know, start funneling it back in, and hey, we're tired of Gundy, let's go get a young offensive mind, a guy from the state of Texas. So there could be a really big job that opens up. It's smart, I think, on his part to not just jump to the next available thing. It's been really cool, though, to see Dan Lanning. One of the biggest questions that I think we had about him as a head coach was, he's a defensive-minded guy. What are his offenses going to look like when he was hired? And here we are 3 years in, and he has brought Oregon back to being a fun offensive team, and he's got back-to-back quarterbacks who were Heisman finalists.
I would make the argument that he's had the best offense, that Oregon Duck fan, and I know the Chip Kelly offense, blur offense, quick offense, tempo stuff was good. I think this is a little better. Not that Chip didn't have success. I just think this version,
he has the ability to do it at the line of scrimmage, too.
You know what I mean? Like, Oregon's Chip Kelly stuff was just so much quick run, and they were really good at what they did. I just like this style of offense a little more. And to your point, defensive guy now with back-to-back offensive Heisman finalists. Got some college football coaching audio I want to get to.
Ooh.
One guy responding to the doubters, the haters, and another guy talking about something that's currently happening that you kind of cited
that is just disastrous for these guys to have to navigate in. So we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. George Reister is going to join us at 8. That'll be the Daily Ticker. The Mail Sack. Any and all questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll get to that at 8:15. Got some college football coaching audio to get to here. Let's start with Boise State's head coach, Spencer Danielson.
Yes.
He won the Mountain West.
That he did.
And he was told that Reese Davis of ESPN highlighted Penn State's path and how easy it is. They got SMU, and then they get to play Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of fired up to hear that comment, and he gave his thoughts on that Reese Davis note of what Penn State's path is.
This is a playoff. Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl is awesome, but different than the years before, that was the last game no matter what. We need to earn the right to make sure it's not. And so, and knowing this team, Jay, knowing how they're wired, I'm already, like I said, hearing them talk about the guys that are counting us out, that are talking about how, oh, shouldn't be there, or, oh, this is going to be an easy road for SMU and Penn State, whoever wins. Great. Love it. That's what this place is built on. Chip on their shoulder. Please count us out. And that's our guy. So I'm fired up.
I know why a coach would use that that slant for his team.
Yeah.
But, man, if they lose to Penn State and it's not close, that's going to age so poorly.
Well, I mean, look, both things can be true, right? I love the idea that he's using this as motivation for his team. They're unquestionably going to put that stuff up on the bulletin board and say, we're sitting around, everybody's telling you you're going to lose, you have no chance to win. Like, by all means, man, use whatever tactic you need to use to get the most out of your team. It doesn't change the fact that it is an incredibly easy path for Penn State. Now, just because you have an easy path does not mean you take advantage of it. Let's not sit here and act like Penn State and James Franklin is guaranteed to win every game. Now, Boise State's not a top five team in the country right now. What are they ranked? 9th or 10th, technically?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
In the rankings. So it wouldn't quite fall into that James Franklin's never beaten a top five team. But his record against top 10 teams ain't very good either. So
what do they do to him if he loses to Boise State?
I mean, they will run his ass out of town.
I don't think they will. They're going to pay his buyout?
Look, probably not.
But they're also going to be
probably
okay
right
with that
here,
guy just continuing to never win big games.
You're probably right here, but that's the beauty of the playoff. Like, I talked about this a little bit yesterday of just the weird feeling of the conference championship games mattering but not mattering as much. Like, James Franklin, if this would have been a four-team playoff, I don't know how they would have handled Texas and Penn State losing and who would have been in. Let's say the format didn't change.
Penn State wouldn't have been in.
Does Notre Dame sneak in without playing a conference championship game? Do they try and wedge in an Indy? Like, I don't know how they would have handled that, but it would have been funny to see the different reaction because Penn State fan came away with that game saying, hey, you know, we scored a lot. It's the best our offense looked in a while. Like, they kind of went moral victory card, which is hilarious because he's been there for over a decade. Like, how many moral victories can you have Penn State? At some point, he's got to win one of these games. If they lose to Boise State, when everybody told you you have a cakewalk to the semis, by the way, the team you might play in the semis might not have their starting quarterback available either. Carson Beck might be out for the entire playoff chase. So the pathway is there. You cannot lose to Boise State.
I'd argue that's a good thing for Georgia, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to this. Kenny Dillingham. I thought that was a good cut from Danielson. I'm rooting for them. I want them to beat Penn State. I hate Penn State. I root for Boise in that game.
I want SMU to beat Penn State in their own stadium. That'd be fantastic.
That's where you start to wonder if he gets ran out.
Yeah.
This is Kenny Dillingham, who not too long ago, when he got the job at ASU, basically said, if you're going to bitch and moan about college football, shut up and get out of the sport. And that's refreshing. All you hear now is coaches complaining and complain. Kirby, oh, how dare us have a hard schedule one time. Yeah. Like, okay. Just shut up. You have all the five stars. Just shut up.
Yes.
Kenny Dillingham has not taken that approach. He's taken the opposite approach. This is the world we are. We got to support these kids, and we got to navigate it. That's why they pay us the money, is basically the attitude he's had. There is something happening right now in college football that I can only imagine how much of a nightmare, whether it's a big program or a middle-of-the-road program, how difficult it is. You're seeing kids all over America hop into the portal. Kenny Dillingham shared what he's doing when he talks to his own players who may or may not be thinking about getting into the portal.
For our guys that are going in the portal, you know, we've met with most of our guys that are going in. Our guys have the opportunity to stay on our football team. Like, they're like, well, we'll go in at the end. I go, no, that's not fair to you to go in after our run is over. Like, I want you to have the best opportunity to find a spot. You can go in right now, day one. We'll help you find a spot and stay on our football team if you want to stay on our football team. And let's go on this ride together the rest of the way. But I didn't want those guys to feel like they had to wait to go in because they wanted an opportunity to have a bigger role for a program until after the CFP. I think that would have hurt their chances. So I made it very clear to the guys that you can stay on the team as long as you, you know, do what you're supposed to do, just like you're on the team. Go to meetings, show up, be 5 minutes early, check in, weigh in, go to workouts. Even if you go in the portal here, that doesn't affect me at all. That's just us being on the same page, trying to help you achieve what you want to achieve in your careers.
I know you get a lot of grief from Beaver and Husky fans from time to time. I do find Lanning and Dillingham very refreshing in that sport.
Yeah, they don't complain.
They don't complain. Like, you know, Lanning basically, don't lose. If you don't lose, they can't leave you out.
Yeah.
And Dillingham's approach, the minute he got that job of like, this is what the sport is. You don't like it, get out of it. And I couldn't be a bigger Kenny Dillingham fan. Behind the scenes, we are trying to do an interview with him. We had an opportunity earlier this year. Schedule-wise, it just ended up not working out. So hopefully we can talk to him because I think they're one of the best stories of the season. But, man, like imagine having guys on your own team basically say, I'm going to leave, and your approach is, great, let's help you find the right spot instead of being one of these coaches who goes on TV and says, well, we got to recruit our own roster and complains about it constantly.
This is the nature of the sport that we have right now. If you don't like it, to Dillingham's point, then get the hell out, man. Brian Kelly did this on signing day. He complained about how much money is getting spent as if LSU does not spend money to go get recruits and prospects. DJ Pickett's one of the top recruits in the country. They signed him, one of the 5-star-plus corners out there. You're telling me he's playing pro bono? You didn't outspend anybody, but then when you lose a financial battle to another school, it's, oh my God, woe is me, this system is rigged, I can't. All the coaches that bash their players for running away from the grind, and then you welcome guys in from the portal that want to run away from another grind. The hypocrisy is everywhere in the sport. It has been really refreshing. I will rant and rave to the high heavens about how Oregon got screwed on their pathway in the playoff. You know who's not doing it? Dan Lanning. And a lot of coaches in that similar position would have said, are you kidding me? We're the number one team in the country, 13-0. Look at the hand we were dealt. This is ridiculous. Yeah. We need to reshape this. This doesn't make any sense. He's not doing it. Kirby Smart just did it at the SEC title game. And I love the way Dillingham has approached this. He had a kid enter the portal the other day that sent out a tweet. Basically, it was like, you know, entering, you know, your typical transfer portal tweet. He quote tweeted it, was like, dude, the kid's a speed demon. Go sign him. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. Like, he's supporting his players. And to say, don't wait till the end of the run. Put your name in now. Stick around. Practice. Stay with us. If you're here still on the first playoff game, we'd love to have you be a part of the team. Like, it's a really refreshing thing that you don't always see in modern sports.
Well, and Lanning, you know, going out and saying, hey, it's supposed to be hard to, you know, win a national championship. Nobody said it was going to be easy. He doesn't give his players a built-in excuse. If your coach is out there bitching, whining, moaning, screaming, complaining, in the back of your mind, now you're like, oh, well, maybe he thinks this is too hard for us or something like that. You have a built-in excuse then if it doesn't go your way.
I will say this for them, since they won't ever say it. Having to deal with the portal right now is ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, the org, football.
But you got to do it for school. That's why they have to do it, because of your calendar and your semesters, and you got to enroll.
They need to figure that out, because these playoff teams have to deal with
this. Well, they're not students anymore. They're professional athletes. They're getting paid.
Not yet, but yes.
That's the biggest change that we need. But they have free agency. You have teams preparing to coach in the college football playoff right now
that are having to talk to guys. And
they're free agency and draft is happening in the middle of their postseason.
Yeah.
Imagine the NFL draft happening during the week of the NFC championship game.
Yeah, they'd never allow it.
No.
No, they'd
never. Doesn't make any sense. Hey, free agency is going to open the third week of the playoffs. I've decided to go. I'm opting out. I'm going to be a free agent. It's absolute lunacy, but here we are.
By the way, Tyler Shuck is back in the portal.
He's got eligibility left?
I saw his name yesterday.
Really?
Like, geez, dude, how many years can you be in the portal?
Hey, you know who might get a chance now, finally? My guy, Ty Thompson.
You need to let that go.
The Tulane starter's transferring.
Where dirt was wrong.
Ty Thompson time. You bite your words, all right? When John Summerall leads him to the college football playoff next year, we'll see who's laughing.
Yeah, all right. George Reister at 8 a.m. for the Daily Ticker. Mail sack at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
Well, I've been thinking about something. So we talked a lot yesterday about the college football playoff.
Oh, yeah, we did.
The brackets are out. Are we going to fill out brackets? Is that a thing? Do we like? Do people print out brackets and fill them out? Like
Tom Fornelli did. He has your Ducks beating Notre Dame in the national championship.
Ooh, Oregon
game.
Notre Dame would be a fun national title game.
No, it wouldn't.
You don't think so?
Why would that be fun?
I just think Notre Dame being in the title game is fun.
Mm. You need. To
I'm one of those weirdos.
Go. Yeah, you are.
I will never let that.
That
movie
style
go.
Of football is not entertaining to me.
I mean, they've been playing really good for like the last 2 months.
Riley, what's their running back's name? He's one of the hardest runners in college football.
I want to say Love, but hold on.
Yeah, I think you're right. Him and Riley Leonard just basically rushing 43 times in the game.
Where is the surprise meter if Notre Dame wins a national championship?
Well, I want to give credit. My gambling co-host, Lucy Burge, she has Notre
Jeremiah
Dame
Love.
Winning. Yeah, thank you. He is a great player. And I know they got good tight end play there, too. But she has Notre Dame winning it. And I like was so caught off guard on Sunday night that I was like, what? And I've actually seen more and more people now with this Beck stuff pick them to beat Georgia.
I mean, they've steamrolled almost everybody.
Who are those teams?
Not great.
And I'm
but
not saying
here's
they
what I think, though. This is the funny thing about this year in college football. It's like you could do that with anybody. Like, who's Texas beat?
Jordan.
Who's Penn State beat?
Georgia should have lost in 8 overtimes.
To Georgia Tech.
To Georgia Tech.
I mean, they should have lost in regulation, not in 8 overtime. Yes. They should have lost in regulation.
Yeah.
If you call a targeting call on the fumble that led to them being able to tie the game up.
But there is something about Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois that I haven't quite gotten over or forgiven yet.
On
even
September
with
7th. That was a long time ago, man. Move on.
I can't. I'm still stuck. So maybe they'll do it, and I'll be the idiot come Monday morning like, man, how about Notre Dame, huh?
That's kind of the fun thing about this year's college football is that just everybody has flaws. It's funny the ones that we want to pick to and point to. Like, there's been this takeaway from Oregon, and everybody, you know, all their defense looked bad on Saturday night, and it was not great by any means.
Yeah.
Find me the perfect defense out. Georgia's defense is outstanding. They gave up nearly 40 at home to Georgia Tech.
Well, I think it's fair to ask what happened to Texas. If Tech can score that many on Georgia, why did Texas, why have they sucked both games offensively?
I mean, they should have dominated that game, to be honest with you. There was a point in the first half where they were outgaining Georgia like 190-10.
And it was just field goal attempt.
It was 6-0. 6-0 was your score.
Well, but that's going to be a problem if you can't execute when you need to.
No doubt.
Whereas Oregon can go through those lulls. I don't know what that game would be, Oregon-Notre Dame.
I don't either.
Is that like an entertaining game? Is that a close? Can Notre Dame beat Oregon? Notre Dame the best team in college football? I have so many questions.
I mean, did you see Penn State putting 37 up on them? Because I certainly didn't. So I wouldn't have said Penn State.
Not 300 yards rushing,
no.
That's for sure.
And what does Notre Dame do?
Yeah.
They run the football really as good as anybody in the country.
Really well.
So that's the unique part about it. But we did talk a lot about the playoff yesterday. Where are people at on other bowl games? Because of the expanded playoffs. So we're going to have 1 weekend off.
I told you, people don't care about other bowl games.
Like, not at all. They're not on your radar at all.
A lot
as a fan.
I think of all, a lot of
I'm not
of
talking about
listeners.
General you. I'm just asking you guys. Like, do you care at all about
not
other
all.
Bowl games?
Not
no.
None of them?
Not announced.
Nothing registers
no.
at all?
Since they created the playoff, I have not cared about non-Duck or Beaver bowl games, whatever that point was. I haven't cared about them since then.
Hmm.
I think if I find myself, you know, on a couch or somewhere throughout the holidays.
I might flip through.
Washington State is maybe the only team I might seek out the Holiday Bowl. Rumors are Mateer. I don't know if he's already in the transfer portal or he's going
not
to hit the transfer portal.
Yeah.
There's rumors around that.
They lost a running back and a defensive lineman yesterday to the portal.
Friday, December 27th is that game.
Yeah, so I might be curious about that one, but no, overall,
no.
Yeah, I mean,
not doing it at all.
I
Syracuse isn't having anybody opt out. Fran Brown says we're all getting washed. None of our guys are entering the portal.
Opting
out of the game, I should say.
I said this about the 4-teamer. It's even probably more true for the 12-teamer. When guys don't play in these games, why should I watch?
So that's the interesting
Sports,
part.
Sprague. Right. Sports is on. I'd rather watch some random show on HBO.
So let me ask you this one then. On, what day is it? Hold on, let me find. On Saturday, December 28th, there are no college football playoff games that day. Mm-hmm. That is before the second round, right? Would technically
begin.
Yes.
Yeah.
You would get, on that day, BYU Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. Colorado is going to have all their guys in the game, according to Dion. Nothing for you?
Nope. No.
Interesting.
That's an exhibition. Now you're talking.
They're going to play the first half and be out in the second half.
Like
whether
NFL
they're in
preseason
or not.
Football.
Yeah, I don't know what people like. There's a lot of people out there that hear me say this and they're like, "Well, your job is to watch sports, and you're telling us you don't even want to watch." Well, I watch those games. Great.
Oh, I'll be digging in. I'm more likely to dig into college basketball at that point.
NBA.
I think that's the point in time where we get some Saturday NFL games.
The season has started in the NBA at that point.
That is true.
It's post-Christmas.
That is true. The season has officially begun.
I don't know what, like, they only watch those games, one, because they're largely in bowl pools.
Yes.
So there's gambling involved with
that's
people.
The primary reason for it.
The other thing is, like, when your conference is crap, you don't care. When the conference you hate is crap, you brag and you laugh about it. The SEC's 4-7 in bowl games. And Pac-12 was 1-8 one year. Who cares?
Yeah.
What are they ended up having the best conference debatably last year, and that was like 4 years removed. So it's like I don't understand what the point is. It's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's largely an exhibition. It's an absolute cash grab to get you to spend your money to fly to some stupid. You want to go to El Paso and watch the Beavs lose to Notre Dame? No,
you don't
want
to do that.
No,
not interested in that game.
Not an ounce of me. No, thank you.
Now,
there's plenty of other sports on that are more relevant and more compelling than those things.
Than Brandon Bowl games.
Yes. Where are you at? Because you do bowl pools on this stuff.
I do. I enjoy doing bowl pools. It's fun.
Yeah, and you're just a sicko for it.
It's the only way that I can gamble on college football. Because, I mean, I actually might drive up to Illinois and place a couple of wagers for the college football playoff.
I'm more likely to fill out a 12-team bracket. Like, you're more likely to get me to do a bracket for
the CFP. We should do a show bracket. You guys want to do that? That'd be kind of fun.
We can do that on
Friday
the
20th. Put $20 in, whoever gets the most games right or something, you know, fill out your bracket. Mm. That needs to become a thing if you're going to do it.
I think it will be.
But somebody had there was a bracket that was put out yesterday that was essentially like you get the NCAA tournament in basketball, and then you have the NIT tournament, which nobody cares about. Would you care if there was an NIT college football playoff instead of bowl games?
No.
Same thing?
You're not going to get kids to play in it if there's no brass ring at the end of it.
I'm stunned that you're telling me Colorado's guys are going
to
play.
Dion's been ranting about it. I mean, I don't know if they actually will, or if, to your point, if it'll just be first half, but Dion is ranting about that. He did a big press conference for the Alamo Bowl the other day and was like, our guys play. They're going to play the entire game.
They've committed. Tickets, and I mean.
They want to sell. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, probably. Washington's playing in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl on New Year's Eve.
Who do they play?
Louisville.
You know. On paper, these games sound cool.
I know. They sound good, like, in theory.
Alabama went from, are they going to make the playoff, to they get to play 6-6 Michigan.
They're playing Michigan in the ReliaQuest Bowl. That is also on New Year's Eve.
I have no idea where the ReliaQuest Bowl is.
To Swag's question, though, on the Saturday NFL games, that does happen earlier. For whatever reason, on Saturday, December 28th, they don't play any games.
Oh, okay.
So I think it might just be because they have the games on Christmas Day instead that week.
Yeah.
So maybe that was where their alternate games. So there are no NFL games on the 28th. They do have games, though, the first weekend of the playoffs on Saturday the 21st. So you're going to have three college football games, playoff games.
Right.
Also on that day, you have Texans and Chiefs.
Wow.
At 10 a.m.
Hmm.
And Steelers and Ravens at 1:30 on Fox.
Yeah, you're going to need multiple TVs.
Are we going multiple screens here? So your playoff breakdown, let me pull up the...
God, what a day that's going to be.
So here's what your schedule will be. Saturday the 21st.
Yes.
It starts at 9 a.m. SMU Penn State's your first game.
Yep.
Then at 10 a.m. you get Texans and Chiefs.
God, the Texans better show up for that.
1 o'clock you get Clemson versus Texas.
Okay.
1:30 you get Steelers versus Ravens. And then at 5 o'clock, you get Tennessee versus Ohio State.
That's a great day.
That is your sports calendar.
You
on the
can't beat that.
And then you get Indiana Notre Dame, by the way, the Friday night before.
Yeah.
In which it'll probably be 10 degrees and snow.
I'm looking forward to it. I was going to cancel my Netflix, and then I was reminded on a commercial driving in the other day that they have the Christmas Day games. I'm like, got to keep Netflix for this stupid Christmas Day games.
They also got me with a trailer for a show coming out in January.
They're going to cancel it after one season.
I mean, no, it's actually a limited series. It's only a one season thing.
Yeah.
So get through my Christmas Day games, watch that show, then I'm out, Netflix.
What's the show?
It's like a basically 1800s USA.
You're such an old white guy.
I got a problem. Hey, do we buy these reports, or is it just getting floated out there? Then George Reister coming up top of the hour. Back after this on The Fan. All right, apologies for the chipmunk voices on YouTube if you're watching. We're trying to figure that one out.
I can't quit my chicks. They've only won this way or that way on a block kick, and they only win by 1, 2, 3.
To be fair, chipmunk takes or chipmunk voices for sports takes does make it entertaining.
I can't quit my chicks.
We'll get to mail sack questions coming up final hour, 503-864-6326. George Reitzer at the top of the hour. I was going to get to something here. I'm going to punt that to the final hour because we just had something happen live on First Take, Catch the Fever.
Underrated part of your team, by the way, Saturday. Your punter was awesome.
The Ducks punter? Ross James, big Ross James guy.
Did you not?
He's a good punter. Yeah, he had a good game.
I think punting has become such an underrated part of a game for me now. Mm. Like where I watch a guy pin within the 10 and I'm like, God, what a kick.
Yeah. Feels good. Field position, man.
He had one and I forget.
Look, who's old now? You're getting excited about field position right now.
I was.
Georgia's starting punters out. He was a Ray Guy Award finalist.
Oh. Yep.
He done.
You kicked one. Your guy kicked one and I'm forgetting his name, but he celebrates every time he kicks beauty. He kicked one and your DB, I don't know what they call those guys.
The Gunners?
The Gunners, thank you. He caught it at like the 2-yard line. I'm like, what a kick.
It's a great feeling when that happens, isn't it?
Like Dan Lanning has to go back. He doesn't talk about this.
It's the third phase. You got to win in special teams, man. Offense, defense, special teams.
When he gets into Eugene and he's like keeping one eye open because he don't want to sleep and he's watching that film, he's got to have such.
Damn right.
Oh,
those are the things that get celebrated like in the team film.
Yes.
You know.
Execution, field position.
Well, as you
Gunner
can see,
doing his job
last night. Special teams may not matter a lot of people until somebody does something stupid.
It was funny with Leon Lett flashbacks. Oh.
Yeah, it was funny the storyline that I guess the Bengals kicker is dating a Cowboys cheerleader,
Cade York.
Yes,
yeah,
because they brought him in. Well, McPherson, the regular kicker, got hurt.
He's also been terrible.
Not been very good this year. Yeah. News out of the college basketball world. I'm curious to get the reaction from a couple of college basketball bros from this. AJ DeBanza, who is the number one player in the country.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the best prospects we've seen in a while.
People rave.
He would be maybe in line to be the number one pick if he could enter the draft this year.
Ahead of Cooper Flagg.
He would certainly, I mean, he's 6'9".
In the combo?
Yes. He is incredibly skilled.
He just committed live on First Take to BYU. He was choosing between BYU, Alabama, North Carolina, and Kansas. Now, if you're wondering, BYU, like what? Huh? BYU. There was a report that came out a couple of months ago that the owner of the Jazz and Danny Ainge essentially have told BYU basketball. Not everything with BYU. I think just BYU basketball. Yeah. You guys have whatever you want, you have.
Yeah.
Whatever you need, we got you. And there was reports that this kid was going to fetch north of $4 million for a year. And so is this a conflict of interest to have an NBA team paying to sign a basketball? It's a very weird, convoluted spot where an owner of an NBA team and a GM of an NBA team are bankrolling a college team when those guys might have the chance to go draft him depending on where the Jazz finish next year.
Well, what would the conflict be?
I don't know.
It's a lottery system in their league, so they can't be guaranteed that they'll get the rights to draft him next year, by the way, because they're bad this
year. You can't guarantee it, but if he hits free agency, you don't think he's going to be like, hey, remember when these guys gave me $4 million? I'm going to go play for the Jets. I know,
You're talking about something that right now today, just as a reference, you're talking about something that's 8 years away.
It is a long time
Maybe
away.
Maybe 9.
Are they playing the long game? Is this smart on their part?
Let's give him
$4 million right now, and he's going to sign with the Jazz in 2037.
I just tell you right now, this kid's awesome. This is good for BYU. Man, talk about a long ways they've come. They had a player in the most weird position ever at Child Center telling the crowd to shut the F up, and now they're getting the number one player in high school basketball. It's just what a journey for them. If I was Jensen Huang, the NVIDIA guy, this kid would be a Beaver.
He'd be in orange and black right now on First Take.
And we talked about Soto earlier this morning, and I totally get why the Ballmers and the Smiths and the Phil Knights, like the Cohens, it's got to be such a cool feeling to have so much money that you just go get your team whatever you want.
Yeah.
And
Whatever you need, I got you.
Sometimes life isn't fair, and I hope Jensen Huang at one point says, I care about sports now at Oregon State. He has shown no real interest yet to me.
It's a damn shame that guy's a nerd for you guys.
He's the richest guy, minus Musk and maybe Bezos. He's like got infinite amount of money.
The funniest thing is like if you just had like a Shohei Ohtani translator situation where you could siphon a little bit, he wouldn't even notice.
No.
Like, can we just siphon like $30 million a year?
Oh, my God.
He wouldn't have, he's got so much money, he would have no clue that was gone from his accounts.
Oh, man.
Just siphon a little bit here. Pennies on top of pennies, and you'll eventually get there.
No, but this is a guy that if you lose the Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper sweepstakes, this is a guy that'll get Blazer fans to go, well, is one more year going to hurt us?
One more tanking year?
One more.
Is that what you're telling me?
He's that kind of player.
How about we do Cooper Flagg and then this guy the next 2 years and then cut the tank?
I think Flagg, Sharp, Klingon and Scoot. I mean, you're talking about contention.
We'll shut our guys down halfway through the year. We retank, and then DeBansa's in the lineup, and now we got Scoot, Sharp, Flag, DeBansa, Klingon.
Okay. And good Denny's team. Off the bench?
And Denny's coming off the bench.
Okay.
Pretty good team.
That's not a bad little unit.
Chauncey's still the coach, probably. We'll see.
I hope not.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack, get those questions in, 503-864-6326. We'll get to those coming up at 8:15. I got a question about a local team in the final hour of the show. We'll start with George Reister, who's joining us to talk a little Oregon football as they get ready to go to the college football playoff. He kicks out the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.